Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this brand new spoiler review episode for The Last of Us here from the
Geek
Buddies! We're back at it on this Monday morning after all the madness of the Super Bowl, but of course after this episode dropped, episode 5 here, Endure and Survive on Friday night. A lot of people still were catching up with it on Sunday night, so maybe some of you all are joining us for our review for the first time after having watched it yourselves this morning or last night. So we're excited to jump into all of it. This is a spoiler review, just warning you right off the bat. So if you haven't watched the episode, go and watch it, come back and hang out with us here. But let's introduce ourselves. I'm the Outlaw John Rocha, writer, producer, and host here on The Geek Buddies.
I am Michael Vogel. I'm a writer and producer of animated TV shows and movies.
And this is Shannon McClung. I'm an animation writer and a television actor, where you can see me next month or this month on the premiere Party Down. I've been having some computer issues this morning. Okay. I can't hear you guys all that well, so I'm going to try and fix it. Just don't pay attention to me.
He's going to fix it on the fly. Wow. Shout out to you there, Shannon. Maybe get some interference. Are you getting a little Fedra interference? Is that what's going on? What's going on with your computer? Anyway, big shout out to Carbon Health, who continues to power and sponsor us here on the Geek Buddies. Head on over to carbonhealth.com for all your healthcare questions, concerns, or needs. They will take care of you. Whether it's a bloater or a regular clicker or whatever you got ailing you, they will absolutely take care of you there. Head on over and get the app as well on the App Store for those questions, concerns, and needs on the go. And they certainly are focusing more on mental health as well. So go and take advantage of those programs and facilities that they have for them. There we go. We lost Shannon McClung. There we go, right off the bat. All right, well, we're going to get into this thing. We're going to break it down by storylines, but we always like to start with the general overall conversation. So until Shannon comes back, Michael, please, what are your thoughts on episode 5 here, Endure and Survive, and the emotional journey that we went through this entire episode, and getting more with Joel and Ellie, getting introduced to Henry and Sam, and getting some more of the background with Kathleen and these hunters?
Well, unlike Shannon's computer, this episode was great. It was another great episode. Shannon's back. How we doing, Shannon?
It was my audio. I had my AirBuds in. They conked out on me. I tried to put these in. They weren't cooperating. Now they are. I can hear everything. Yeah, buddies. Okay. All right, I'm ready. Okay.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. I thought this episode. I mean, this episode was heartbreaking and terrifying and awful in the best ways. But I think this episode really underscored some of the bigger themes of the show. You know, like between Kathleen and her relationship with her brother Michael, between Henry and Sam, you're just seeing sort of all of these relationships that are very reflective of the Joel and Ellie relationship, and kind of underscoring the theme of love being the most important thing for humanity, and the lack of love, or giving in to to your fear, your anger, your hatred, is not the way that we are going to survive as a species. So, you know, just like there was a lot going on. There was a lot said. I mean, Kathleen has a speech at the end that pretty much hits all the themes of this show right on the nose. And in the midst of all that, we got one of the most terrifying moments that I would put up against some of the most terrifying moments of Walking Dead or any other zombie things. Did I scream? Yeah, I screamed. I screamed really loud and my friends laughed at me. So it was great. I mean, it's just another great example of this show doing such a great job of adapting the video game while at the same time expanding on the themes and the ideas in the video game in amazing ways. And still giving us really fun visual scares and stuff that we haven't quite seen before. And it just is all kind of combining to be really one of the best shows that we've seen in a really, really long time.
Yeah, I have to agree. Shannon, yeah, Michael talking about some themes here. Certainly the idea of protector and the person being protected. We're seeing that repeated in different ways, mirroring what Joel and Ellie are going through. And as Michael alluded to, the idea, is it love or hate that's going to get us through this? And of course, leading to that moment where all the infected come streaming out of that underground area, which also speaks to the volume of if we keep hiding away a problem or putting a problem down or shoving it away, it's eventually going to explode and overwhelm us. So much that was explored here theme-wise, but also character beats-wise with these relationships. What did you think of this episode overall?
I mean, just really, really good. I mean, this was one, I'm so programmed to watch it on Sundays that I forgot that it was going to be available on Friday. And so then when we're texting like, hey, it's up, I'm like, oh God, I'm watching it by myself. Like this show is not my wife's cup of tea. So trying to find that time to be able to go and watch it and seeing how people were reacting to the episode was just very frustrating. But once I finally was able to sit down and watch it, it was just outstanding. And again, the actors that they cast on this show are just top notch. I mean, Lamar Johnson, who was playing Henry, and I believe his name is Kevin Woodard, who played Sam, who is actually, you know, deaf. My goodness, just two very, very powerful performances. And not that it becomes the comparing game of like, what is it about this show that Walking Dead did something differently? Like, you know, those first few seasons of Walking Dead, they're really good. This show is so different, and it's really tough to kind of put your finger on it. I don't know if it is a show that is just so focused on the survivors and how 5 episodes in, we've only really had 2 episodes with the infected, and how much it's about the people and how much it's them trying to rebuild the society. I mean, maybe because this one is set kind of 20 years into it, whereas Walking Dead wasn't that long after it started. But action wise at the end, I mean, really kind of putting you in, again, having not played the game, really putting you into that type of level where Joel is sniping. It's like the objective of the mission is to protect Ellie.
Yeah.
And you are just right there with Joel, like looking at this chaos, trying to protect this one person. But again, though, as Vogel was saying, those mirror relationships to Ellie and Joel, whether it be Henry and Sam, whether it be, you know, the folks that took over Kansas, it's just so, so well done. And one of the things that I always really enjoy about the HBO shows is most of the time, they do have that inside the episode afterwards, and getting to hear from the cast, getting to hear from Neil Druckmann and Craig Mazin. You can just tell the amount of care that was put into this show, and really knowing that how it has deviated from the game a little bit, or reading how it's deviated from the game. Really hats off to Neil Druckmann, the guy who, you know, was really the creative force from the game that's on the show, and how he roles with these changes, and like he sees the advantages of like, hey, this thing's been out for 10 years. Where can we, because it's a different medium, where can we plus? And you know, it can be difficult for a creator to kind of, you know, let loose with their grip on their baby. But watching how he and Craig Mazin have really their partnership, how it is just spinning this incredible narrative. I agree with Vogel. It is one of the best shows we've had on TV in a long time.
Yeah, I agree. And of course, Pedro Pascal leading the way in such a, such a fantastic way to see. And I was thinking about it, I was rewatching it a second time this morning. Like, how it could have been easy for him to be like, well, I don't want to be typecast in this role yet again, this guy protecting a younger person in his care. I don't want to be, but like, there's something about the material that must have really spoke to him, something about the journey of this character, the journey of him and Ellie in their relationship, the journey of this world, the fleshing out of this world, and what Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann, as you said here, Shannon, brought to the table to convince him to be a part of this project. And thank God they have, because although he's a little bit of a backseat in this episode, there are still the moments to get Joel and get you to connect with Joel and care for Joel and understand that underneath that rough exterior, there is a guy who cares a lot about people. And the reason he's pulled himself so far back is because he's endured some losses, and it's just harder for him to take the losses than it is for maybe some other people. And you can see that in those little moments when he has exchanges with Henry about the things he did for Sam when they're down in that little first grade preschool, whatever that is, room there under the tunnel. So, all right. So the way we're going to jump into this thing, we're going to take it storyline wise and go through that. So let's start off with the Kathleen storyline. You mentioned great actor Shannon Melly Linsky, certainly obviously pushing back on some of the criticism that she had on social media, forcing one person to shut down their entire Twitter account because of the irrational comments that person made. And Melanie Linsky's defense, and this is why, because she can bring this kind of a performance to a character like this. Is why you cast an actress like this. We see right off the bat, we see all this terrible things happening to the Fedra people. I mean, that's a way to start an episode. People getting hung, handcuffed behind their backs and beaten. It's just horrible stuff. Some half naked people, God knows what's happening to them. So we're seeing all this devastation right off the bat. Fuck Fedra and all that kind of stuff. And then we go to Melanie Linsky here as Kathleen, and she is having this conversation with these collaborators, and the way she's talking down to them, the way she's prodding them to get the information, gets the information, walks out with Perry, has a back and forth with Perry, and makes it clear to Perry, yo, we got to get Henry. It's not my seventh priority. This has to get done. By the way, go and kill him and burn the bodies. And then we see her later standing there in the bedroom of her and Michael's. We hear about the story of her and Michael, how Michael protected her and Michael was always there for her. And she's telling Perry this, who maybe might have crossed the line by asking Kathleen's mom where she is. Kathleen kind of gets him with a little jab there, but Kathleen speaks about Michael and talks about how much Michael means. Again, this idea of Michael that Vogel brought up here, caretaker. Michael was her caretaker, protected, you know, created this box, nothing to get through this box, but Michael is gone now because of Henry. And she reveals that her and Michael had a conversation where Michael told her to forgive Henry for what Henry did. And we find out that, of course, later in the episode that Henry had sacrificed Michael in order to get drugs to help his brother Sam, who had leukemia. So we see the weight of it all. Michael knew this, and Michael told Kathleen and told her to forgive. But she said, no, what justice is there to win from that? And Perry also reassures her that her way actually got the job done, not Michael's way, which is, of course, an interesting perspective to have. She ends up later, you know, she ends up having the old guy shooting to make sure that Henry and Sam and Joel and Ellie don't get out of that area, essentially pinning them down. She shows up, and we have, as Michael alluded to, this conversation with her and Henry when Henry comes out and she says to him, kids die. You were selfish. Why do you think the whole world revolves around Sam? Completely unaware or lack of self-awareness that she felt that way about Michael. This whole thing is happening because of her obsession for vengeance and justice for the one person who her world revolved around with, and that's Michael. It's a really interesting moment. And then, of course, and we'll talk about that later, the infected comes storming out. She ends up escaping thanks to Perry getting his head ripped off. And she shows up there confronting the kids, pulls the gun, and before she can shoot them, that little contortionist infected girl jumps on her and beats the living shit out of her and eats her as well. But there's a moment here, and I know you guys are going to talk about it more specifically, but that moment when Henry comes out and Kathleen has the gun on him, Kathleen gets emotional and almost like doesn't pull the trigger. She has that moment, like really seeing Henry, and it's almost like her last connection to Michael, her last real thing with Michael. And I thought that was so well played by Melanie Linsky, as well as all the more cruel moments that she had. Michael, what did you think of this whole storyline as it played out here? Because that's the last we get of Kathleen in this series. What did you think about how it all played out?
I mean, like I said, last week when you guys were all on the Kathleen train, like I think she is, I mean, she is the ultimate example of someone who has lost their way, but Melanie Linsky plays the shit out of this. Like, she is a fascinating character. And just to see the execution, to see a character who started off doing the right thing, like rising up and overthrowing Fedra is good. By all accounts, everything that we have seen in the 20 years since this outbreak happened, the federal government has gone down, like started off a weekend, like shooting innocent, non-infected people, and things got worse from there. So overthrowing Fedra totally makes sense. But that scene where she is sitting there in that cell with all of the people who collaborated with Fedra for their own reasons, and she kind of, you know, in foreshadowing what we're going to learn about Henry, says, so look, you guys informed on people for alcohol, for medicine, for apples. How does it feel now? And then to promise them that they're going to be treated fairly. This idea that we have now overthrown our oppressors, but we're going to do things differently. And then to instantly go outside and take it back and say, no, we're going to burn them. Like, burn them. It's easier to get rid of the bodies that way. Like, you just see that she's just become the thing that she hates so much. And she doesn't have the ability to empathize. That all of these people sitting there, you know, like I think Neil Druckmann said this in one of the interviews, but like a lot of the show is about not being able to see people for who they are anymore. That people right. just become the monsters that you hate. And so all of these people that were just trying to get by under Fedra, like everybody else, maybe they didn't make the best decisions. Maybe they made the best decisions they could for the position that they were in, but she doesn't want to hear any of it. To her, they are all now less than human, just like Henry is. And so for her to go on this whole journey and then to find out in that scene in her childhood bedroom that Michael sounds like he was a great guy. I mean, and even when Henry talks about Michael, he says, and I know we're not on the Henry stuff, but he even describes him as like, you know, that person that you would follow anywhere, that person that's amazing, that person that's great. And that's why I did the worst thing ever. And Kathleen and Henry seem to agree on Michael. Like, you know, she was like, he was this amazing guy. He made things better for me growing up. He was this person. And such an amazing guy that he was the one who saw that empathy. He was the one that saw, you need to forgive Henry. He did the best he could because of the Sam situation, because of everything else. And Kathleen doesn't want to hear it. And you just see her going through. And even in last week's episode, and I think this is really key, Joel said something to Ellie one or two episodes ago when they were in the car. So I guess one episode ago where he kind of says that Fedra, like the humanity's pointing the guns at the wrong thing, that Fedra's using all of their trucks and their guns and everything to keep people in the quarantine zone and to execute people and to do this. And you see Kathleen do the exact same thing in these two episodes. There is a clear threat underneath Kansas and she ignores it because she would rather point the guns at Henry. And then it comes back to bite her in the ass. And then leading to that great speech that she has where, you know, Henry's like, look, you can have me. Just let the kids go. And she's like, sorry, Sam's tied to you. This girl's tied to the guy that killed Brian. So we're going to kill everybody because that's how we're going to do things here. And then to say, why do you think the world revolves around this one person? John, you're absolutely right. Like, she's completely unaware that she's doing the same thing because her entire, all of her choices revolve around Michael. But in the bigger picture, and I think this is what everyone creatively working on the show is trying to say, like, this is what we all do. Like any of us, like the people in our lives that we really love, we would do anything to protect them and we would do anything to keep them safe. And we would maybe make choices that aren't the best for the bigger world. And it's what Frank and Bill says, what Frank and Bill's episode is about. Mm-hmm. It's what Bill says to Joel in the letter. It's what Tess says to Joel before she dies, just save who you can. Like, there is just this really strong theme that goes throughout. And I think Kathleen's entire arc is just the inverse of the journey that Joel is going on in a very, very tragic, but because it's acted so beautifully, kind of really powerful way.
Yeah, I think one of you all said this last week or I read this somewhere in a review where people were talking about comparing The Walking Dead to The Last of Us. And for me, I said this on my own review a couple of days ago. I said, you know, The Walking Dead walked so that The Last of Us could run. You can see the beats here. I mean, you can compare this to Carol's daughter, this with stuff that happens with Sam later on in the episode. Very similar in that moment where the show absolutely changes. I think the difference, though, is The Last of Us gives us more hope amidst all the madness, amidst all the real human stuff. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that, whereas The Walking Dead feels more depressive. This felt even, we're seeing what human beings would actually do, but there's a little more understanding about why. There's a little more exploration of these things. And I like that this show does that. And so where you might think Kathleen is the way she is, you understand why these things are happening. You understand why Henry did what he did with Sam. You understand why Joel is tortured by the loss of his daughter, why Ellie is the way she is. And so there's so much more of an understanding of these characters as we're going through it that I think The Last of Us is doing well. And look, this is no bash on Walking Dead. They had a multiple characters to try to flesh out. Not an easy thing to do, but I just kind of feel like this one has just a slight bit more hope to it than The Walking Dead did. What do you think, Shannon, about Kathleen's journey through this episode? We're getting much more with her talking about Michael, talking her obsession to get Henry. Then even that moment where she has a bit of emotion before she's about to kill Henry, what is that all about? And even when she confronts him, she doesn't pull the trigger the second time either immediately. There's more of a pause there before she's eaten. What do you think about how Melanie Lynskey did with this character throughout this episode?
I mean, you phrased it pretty perfectly, Johnny, when you said you understand why people are doing what they're doing. Hmm. Because even though in the narrative she is being framed as the bad guy, you look at where she came from, you look at what has transpired that has led her to this moment. Yeah. And you know, that opening, I mean, that is absolutely brutal. Like, you're watching people be executed, you're watching people be strung up. You know, you see that Humvee dragging a body that yeah. has probably 20 or 30 knives, whatever, stabbing implements sticking out of it. So knowing that Fedra was so bad in Kansas City, which Henry does confirm later, it's like, is this justified? I don't know. I mean, like, obviously, again, the way it's being framed is these are the bad guys, but then you hear everything that led up to it, and it's that, you know, the people who are on the bottom are now on the top. And as Kathleen is addressing the collaborators, and but you understand why they did it too. I mean, especially when it comes to Henry, with Henry and Sam, that, you know, he had a child in his care that was suffering. There was a way to make him not suffer. There was a way to heal him, but you have to do this thing. And that's really the really great storytelling that they're doing, is presenting these moral arguments. And obviously, because Michael, we hear what an amazing guy this was, because Michael did tell his sister, like, you gotta forgive Henry. And she chooses not to. Like, she chooses, once they have overthrown the bad guy, rather than confronting the threat that is the most imminent, she's hell-bent on revenge. So, I mean, again, I'm not totally off the Kathleen train from last week. I mean, it's like I get it. I get it. I mean, you flip the camera, and there's a section where she's the good guy. I mean, you know, I mean, Inigo Montoya, all he wanted was revenge for Christopher Guest.
Sure.
Dad.
Inigo Montoya didn't go kill everybody in his path to get to the guy that killed his dad.
Don't know that.
It's been 20 years.
Been 20 years. He got really good at sword fighting. I'm guessing he wasn't just hitting a dummy.
It doesn't make a lot of money, though.
He was working for Fezzik.
To your point, I think there's a really clear message here, because the other part in that Michael, in that scene where she's talking about Michael, is the realization when what's his face is like, yeah, but he didn't get us there. You did. We're behind you. Like, in the world, like Michael sounds like he was a great guy. He organized people. He had a resistance going on. But Kathleen's the one that got shit done. Kathleen is a Joel. Kathleen is a Bill. Kathleen is one of those people that can, she's going to get shit done. She's going to make it happen. The difference being that both Bill and Joel have found a person to hold on to their humanity to. You know, like Joel shut himself off. Joel could have been a Kathleen for the past 20 years. I mean, Joel didn't want anything to do with anything. He had tests, which probably kept him from becoming a Kathleen. But it
like
it's
he,
this
he
relationship.
He was a bit of a Kathleen for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. He did some bad shit.
Yeah.
And so it's Ellie that's bringing him out of that, because he has this connection that's going to help him move on from the death of Sarah. Kathleen can't let go of the Michael death. And so she, although to your point, Shannon, her grief is justified. Her anger is justified. But it is just, there's nothing tethering her to reality anymore. Because like just to be clear, those scenes that we're seeing in the opening, that those brutal scenes, that's not Fedra. That's Fedra being killed.
Oh yeah.
That's Kathleen and her people. So like you see how brutal Kathleen and her people have become, and you're like, yeah, this is it's rough. But like to your point, it is what's great about this is that they are presenting such a moral quandary that you can see how easy it is to go either way. That making the right choice and holding on to your humanity and finding that way to move out and find the hope that you guys are talking about is a lot harder sometimes. You know, as cheesy as Star Wars can be, it's like the path to the dark side is an easy one. It's the light side that can be challenging sometimes.
Now, quick hypothetical.
Yeah.
Now, let's say that Joel did not shoot that driver who was in that, you know, crazy Mack truck. Let's say Kathleen and her people, they get Henry, they get Sam, they get Joel, they get Ellie. What kind of leader is Kathleen after that? Like, once she is it just the road to paranoia? Does she eventually address the infected that are about to Vesuvius out of the ground, or does she become a good leader?
It's a good question. Like, well, does she become more of a megalomaniac because she's gotten rid of the person that she needed to get rid of and took care of business? Does that feed her ego that she does know the right thing to do when her path is the right path because it leads to results? And Perry's sitting there like a yes man the whole time, even though, listen, great acting by him in those moments where Kathleen is telling him things to do. He doesn't want to do it. When she says, we can do trials. And she's like, no. And she goes, just kill them, burn them, or whatever. You see him like take that breath, like, fuck. And then the other thing, when they come out and have the conversation, and she's like, we're gonna go kick all the doors. He's like, we don't have the manpower to do that. We can't do that. We shouldn't be doing this and this. She's like, he's not my seventh priority. Get the fuck on it. So there's more here that could cause some ripples and some division between Perry and Kathleen that's only hinted at. But even in the room there with talking about Michael, Perry is kind of staring at her. And Perry looks like he didn't know that she talked to Michael. And so how's that going to change Perry down the road if they had gotten rid of Joel and Ellie and Henry and Sam? It's a good question to bring up.
I mean, by the nature of what the show is trying to say, and as we were saying about Joel, Kathleen, after if she had killed everybody and then had taken care of the infected and life in Kansas moved on, that doesn't make her, she might be an effective leader, but if she can't find that way to tether herself back to humanity again, to find love again, to move on. So look, is there a version of a world where Kathleen finds her version of an Ellie 10 years after Kansas and then has to reckon with the horrible, horrible things she did? Sure. Like that's kind of the journey we're seeing Joel on right now, but she still has to make those leaps, which is what we are watching Joel do. So that's where I think Kathleen's story is so interesting, because she is the Joel story without an Ellie to pull you back.
Yeah, look how quickly we move on with the Odin story after Hela told us all the shit that Odin pulled, and then we have Odin dying and everyone gets emotional without, because they're not processing all the shit he did, because we're seeing him at the tail end, not in the middle of his full of piss and vigor and killing species and killing all kinds of people on different planets and all over the galaxies. It's just different where you catch people. Shannon, were you done with your points of Kathleen?
I wanted
to throw a symbolism thing in. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, go for it, Johnny.
I think what's fascinating too about the Kathleen stuff is we're seeing at the beginning, as you pointed out here, Michael, the ferocity of the hunters unleashed. And certainly Joel speaks about that. And I think there is a connective tissue to the infected who come out in that moment in the show as well. This idea that if you keep a society of human beings down, infected or not, when they are finally freed from your control and your rule, they will destroy everything in sight in order to satiate their vengeance. So it's a commentary on humanity as well, which has repeated itself ad nauseum for years, for decades, for centuries. And I think what's great about the show is in a microcosm, you see it happening with Kathleen and Henry. in a macro world, you see it happening with the hunters and Fedra and the infected against the hunters. And so I think that's always what's so interesting about this show over the last five episodes is how it works on a micro level, but on a macro level. And it never ends, right? Because, well, you did this to save your family, but you killed my family, so I must get vengeance on you. Well, you killed my person and my family, so I must now get vengeance on your family. We're going Hatfields and McCoy. So this stuff just goes on and on, whether it's countries or people or families. It just goes on and on and on, sadly. And that's the aspect of humanity, because there are so few Gandhis and Martin Luther Kings and other people like that, sadly, because we're not built to be that in mass. And so I think that's what's so interesting about the show. So just throwing it out there. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll jump into the big meaty storyline of this. That's Henry and Sam right after this.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Just the Last of Us. Nope. We can make it if we try. No. It's the Last of Us, you and I.
No, All right. Let's get into Henry and Sam here. What an incredible performance here, as you mentioned, Shannon. Kevin Woodard being deaf, coming in as a new kid, and we're seeing more and more deaf actors taking prominent roles in these franchises and in these projects, which I think is great to see. But Lamar Johnson is incredible as Henry, as a performer here throughout. I tweeted out that this guy should be on your on your list of people to cast as the lead in your show or your movie immediately, or in your superhero franchise. For the love of God, save him from that X-Men nonsense and put him in a decent superhero film if you want to. But what an incredible performance here. And we see this relationship develop. We only saw them pull guns on Joel and Ellie at the end of this last episode. But in this episode, we see their story. We go back a little bit in time, right when the hunters are taking over Fedra. And by the way, this was only 10 days ago. So we see from the timeline there, we see Henry and Sam escaping out. Of course, Kathleen finds out that they're with Fedelstein. Fedelstein's the doctor who we saw in the last episode. And we find out that Henry and Sam are brothers, and that Sam is deaf, which is a change from the game. He is not deaf in the game. So it's an interesting wrinkle. And he is taking care of his brother. His brother is obsessed with superhero stuff. They go to this hideout house that Fedelstein has for them. They spend 10 days there. They're running out of food. And then Henry has a plan to get on out of the city. He doesn't know if he can make it, but he has a plan. And then they watch the Joel and Ellie situation happen from last episode. Henry comes up with a new plan. They go and confront Joel and Ellie. They talk. They have some food. We have a fun little banter about Joel's asshole voice with Ellie and all this that goes on. And then Henry talks them into helping them escape. We see them having conversations as they go into the tunnels and they go to that preschool or whatever that is, daycare that they're sitting at. And we hear that Henry and Sam, Henry sacrificed Michael in order to get the drugs for Sam because of the leukemia. And we also see that Henry understands that Joel is a dad, maybe not Ellie's dad, but certainly a dad. And that kind of stops Joel in his tracks. Then later we see them walking through thinking that they've escaped at night. And then all that stuff happens that we talked about with the infected and Kathleen and what have you. And they escape and end up at the at this house. And we have this back and forth. We see Joel kind of open up and invite Henry and Sam to come with them to Wyoming. This kind of glimmer of what could be this possibility that ends up leading to tragedy, because we have Sam and Ellie having a conversation there on the pad about things. And Sam asks the one question that is, just stop me in my tracks when I read that. Are you still a monster Are you still yourself inside when you become a monster? Which was just devastating to read. Shows her the bite mark. And by the way, I've never played the game, so I had no idea about any of this. I was going insane. But you see Ellie, you know, put her blood on him to try to cure him. The next morning, wakes Sam is sitting on the edge of the bed. Ellie walks over. He attacks Ellie. They burst through the door. Joel tries to stop it, but is shot off by Henry, and then Henry makes the really brutal and heartbreaking decision to shoot his own brother in the head. And as this dawns on him, and we see again a wonderful acting performance from Lamar Johnson, and he realizes what he's done. He's pointing the gun at Joel. He's asking himself, "What have I done? What have I done?" And then pulls the gun on himself and kills himself in front of Ellie and Joel. What a horrible ending and tragic ending to this beautiful relationship of brothers. And then Ellie kind of puts the last piece of the puzzle here on that relationship by putting the "I'm sorry" on the pad there on their grave. So, Shannon, this is a devastating storyline. And shout out again to both of these actors who, by the way, only get one episode to make us care for this relationship and affect us the way they do by the end of the episode. What'd you think here?
I mean, the simplicity of both of their performances was just, it just was so authentic. And as you were talking about, like, you know, we had one episode to care about these two. Yeah. That's something that the writers and the directors and the actors, everyone's doing a really, really great job. Because it was the same situation with Bill and Frank. Like, we had one episode, and by the end, some people are saying this is one of the best episodes of TV ever. And, you know, I would put this one in there as well. I mean, just because you see the care that Henry takes with Sam. And, you know, they're really good at dishing out that little bit of information, that little bit of backstory. For people who are uninitiated. So when he says, you know, "I've never killed anybody." And then when he says, "Well, that wasn't totally true." And then you can see Joel's hackles get raised.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, oh shit, what's going on? And then you find out what he actually did and how that connects to Kathleen. There's just so much love between those two in this, you know, brotherly relationship, and like just a great scene between Henry and the actor who played the doctor, Edelstein, when he says, you know, "Is Sam scared?" He's like, "Well, yeah, he saw a lot." And he's like, "No, he's scared because you're scared." And to watch Henry connect with Sam, it was just, you know, again, just a really, really beautiful thing to see. And to know, like, they tell us up front, there are no bullets in their guns. Yeah. So they're really kind of going on a wing and a prayer that Joel's not going to jump up and grab that gun. But you watch that slow bonding between not just Ellie and Sam, but between Henry and Joel as well. Like, I think this is the most we've seen Joel change. And granted, that change was already in effect. Like, Ellie has already had Ellie and Tessa's sort of last wish. Joel is already on the path at this point, but you see him when he invites them to go to Wyoming. I mean, it's just so pure. And by the time you get to the hotel at the end, and again, Kayvon Woodard, like, kid actors, it's always a challenge because you never know what's gonna happen. But then you add, you know, the death angle as well, and you know, the kid was just, he was just so freaking good. Like, you couldn't, or rather I couldn't stop looking at his eyes every time he would sign, and then he would kind of point at what he's referring to. Like, he was just so captivating. And that moment when Ellie wakes up and he's on the foot of the bed, I mean, as an audience member, we know what's happened. Like, he's gone. And watching Henry pull the gun to protect himself, then pull the gun on Joel to protect his brother who is gone. Yeah. And that sort of instinct that he had to shoot when it looked like Sam was going to get Ellie. I mean, their relationship, or rather that dynamic, it's very similar to Bill and Frank. Like, when Bill knew that Frank was, he was going to go, it's like, that is my purpose. That's my reason for being. If that is gone, I don't need to be here anymore. And granted, Henry's thinking was a little more accelerated. But like, what is his life after this? Like, if Joel was able to wrestle that gun away from him, what is Henry's life after this? Like, he will never get over the death of his little brother, and the fact that he didn't cause the death of his brother. He caused the death of the infected. Sam was gone, but that is not something it is not a small thing for a person to get over that. Right. So you understand why he does it. But also with Joel tried to save him at the end. Like, even though Joel knew where Henry was, having, you know, been in the same situation 20 years before, knowing that Henry is probably going to be not the most stable guy, he still tried to stop him from taking his own life. I agree with you, John. I think Lamar Johnson is a name we're going to be hearing quite a bit in the next few years. And whether that means he's leading a series, leading a movie, or just a solid ensemble player, like, this is a guy that is not going away anytime soon. And I really hope that Kayvon Woodard is given the opportunities, that there are more roles for hearing impaired actors, and that he will be amongst that group.
Yeah, Michael, I mean, what an unusual characterization for both of these actors to take on, right? Henry is no wallflower. Henry is not pleased or begging for the help. Henry is very firm. And when he's planning things out, when they're in that mini conference room and he's telling him, he's saying, no, you need me and I need you because I need to get out of here. And this is how it's going to get done. And then even before they agree, he tells Sam, oh, they're going to help us escape, kind of trapping them in this situation, because Henry's not going to take no for an answer. And by the same token, Sam himself is not just a hearing impaired kid who's like dependent on his brother. He's like, I'm fucking hungry. I'm hungry. Like, feed me. Like, they each have their natural human impulses that would come out in an extreme situation like this. Instead of turning them into wallflowers, they're very clear, three-dimensional characters that I don't think we've seen too often in shows like this, in situations like this. What did you think overall about how this storyline was handled and these characters and these two actors?
I mean, just echoing what you guys said, I think Lamar Johnson and Kayvon Woodard were just fantastic. And to the point of the Bill and Frank episode, to the point of this episode, to have these characters come in that are so well-written and so well-performed that you instantly care about them, fall in love with them, get who they are, get how they tie into the bigger story. It really is an achievement. I think there's two big reasons that Last of Us kind of hits a differently than Walking Dead. One, I'll talk about when we get to the Joel and Ellie story. But the other thing is, a lot of times the hardest thing to do in writing is brevity. And I think Walking Dead, and look, I don't want to take anything away from Walking Dead. When Walking Dead first came out, we all loved it. It kind of became soap opera after a while, because that's naturally what happens with any show. You add more characters, you have more characters, you have more characters, you have to figure out all these different connections, you have to track everything that happened. And I think it kind of lost the way of what it wanted to say. Last of Us is such a tight story. And every character, you can see how it reflects the journey of Joel and Ellie. Like, everything is very tight and it's there for a specific reason. So you don't feel like you're getting lost in it. And Henry and Sam really, really reflect that. What I find most interesting about this relationship, I think the choice to make Sam hearing impaired was great, because I do think it really underscores how reliant he is on Henry and how much he needs him in that protected relationship. But to your point, even within that, because Kayvon Woodard is hearing impaired, he didn't play him as a one note hearing impaired character. To your point, John, like, he actually was a fully developed character who he and Henry can easily communicate with each other. You didn't have to play any of the, oh, I don't know what he's saying. Like, it just, and even with Sam and Ellie, how they really quickly sort of figured out how to communicate and talk to each other. So to have a character that you give them a reason why they really need Henry there, but don't let that be a one note character, I think is a really great achievement across the board on the show. But what's interesting is Henry is a great protector. He's definitely doing a good job of Sam, but there's this key difference between him and Joel. And I think it's really reflected in the gun. We see Joel in the last episode give the gun to Ellie, show her how to shoot, make sure she's shooting right, and that thing is loaded. Henry gives Sam a gun that's not loaded. And even the stuff with the superhero stuff, as sweet as it is, like, there's a lot of shielding Sam from the reality of what's happening. And right, Joel doesn't shield Ellie.
Like, look at my eyes. Look at my eyes. Don't look at what's going on there. Right. Good point, Mike. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and to your point, that's what Joel does with Sarah in the first episode. Sarah's the daughter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When Joel first, you know, when he's got Sarah, he's like, don't look, don't look, don't look. He is shielding her. He doesn't shield Ellie from shit. Ellie is in the thick of it. And so what Henry is doing with Sam is more reflective of what Joel did with Sarah than what Joel does with Ellie. And, you know, I do think that was really great on their part. Like, and it's tied to the game, but like, well, actually, no, this isn't tied to the game because Henry, they could have made Henry's story more, Michael and I had this discussion and Kathleen didn't understand, but like, no, like Henry straight up informed on Michael. Like he absolutely betrayed Michael to Fedra. So what Kathleen is upset about absolutely happened, but in getting to hear that full story, it humanizes him. And I think that's really, really key. But then even at the end, I mean, as first of all, everything, I did know what happened, what was going to happen to Sam, and it still was horrible. Like that whole scene with him and Ellie talking to each other where he's talking around it and he looks really upset. Like I knew where that was going. And when he revealed the bite, it still was like, oh me, like you still hoped against hope that maybe they'll change it. But that moment at the end, it's just like when Henry shoots Sam and then doesn't know what to do and just has that moment of like, he's literally lost.
Yeah.
And kills himself, you sort of see, it's again, like we're talking about Kathleen, like Kathleen lost that tether to her humanity and went down this road. Joel lost his tether to humanity, went down a road, but is now coming back through Ellie. And Henry just doesn't have the strength to go to, he doesn't have the strength to become a Kathleen or go on the journey Joel is. He's just done. And I think like to have those three very specific examples, you could throw Bill and Frank in there too. That Bill was just living a life that was empty of anything. He had never had that person to hold on to and thought he never would. So was just living a very flat existence until he met Frank. So with Bill and Joel and Kathleen and Henry, each one of them, you sort of see this very different journey of what happens when you lose that love or find that love. And I think that is, again, why Last of Us is so good, because this story is so tight. The fact that you can line all of these characters up that we've met so far and all of these relationships and talk about them in relation to each other and the bigger themes of love in this zombie show, I think is what makes it so powerful.
Yeah. And I think also, Michael, something you can bring up with comparing all of these, they all, the protector and the protectee all die in these scenarios. So what is this pattern that the show is showing us that is always on the edge of Joel and Ellie, that I don't know, but it's like, you're seeing this pattern. You're like, what does this mean? Why are we focusing?
And you can see it. I mean, and even though it's a much more, Henry and Sam is the tragic version of Bill and Frank.
Right.
Like Frank was like, I'm done.
They chose.
And I'm choosing to die. And Bill says, well, then I'm going to go with you because I've had a good life thanks to you. Henry, it's way more brutal and tragic, but it's the same thing. He can't go on without Sam.
Yeah, the Sam thing is also tragic because he didn't choose to have leukemia. He got it. He didn't choose to get bit. He got it. And that's the horrible truth of the world sometimes. And a lot of people, a lot of their religious like walls or the things that they slam up against when they're looking at religion is, why does God take children? Why does God take these innocent kids? How is that possible? So it's to have that in this, in a microcosm here in this show, I think was really fascinating to explore that as well. And as I said, every protector and protectee, and you include Michael and Kathleen in that, they die as well, you know? So there is this kind of pattern developing here that we're seeing that's a really unsettling for me, because again, I've never played the game. I don't know where this is fucking leading, but it's just kind of bothering me a little bit as we see this going on here. I also think what's fascinating too is that Henry has this moment where he says to Joel, I'm the bad guy, right? I did the bad guy thing. I'm the bad guy. And there's that real self-realization from him, but Joel is an older guy. So even in that moment, Joel looks at him like, you're young. You're going to get past this. This is what people do to survive. You're just young and you're beating yourself up right now. but there you can get through this. There is a way out,
but
from the darkness of this guilt, you know. So you can see that.
But and I know we're gonna get to it in a minute when we talk about Joel and Ellie. But I think one of the key things though is that Joel, upon first hearing that Henry was an informant, has the exact same reaction that Kathleen does, even uses the same word. Kathleen calls all of them rats at the beginning, and he's like, I don't deal with rats. Like, I don't he's ready to walk away as soon as he hears it. And then they go on the journey, and it's when they're in the little daycare underground that Joel actually apologizes. And we see, to Shannon's point, that humanity that's developing within Joel because of empathy, where he kind of says, look, if you did what you did for him, like I shouldn't have said what I said. And so seeing even Joel sort of slowly start in a very Kathleen place and then end differently to the point where he's willing to invite them to go with him to Wyoming is a big part of Joel's development.
Yeah. And Ellie kind of calling him out by going, oh, this is how he is. He'll say, never, never. And then I'll just ask him a million times and he'll do it. So it's interesting things. But before we get too deep in, let's take a quick break and then we'll jump into the Joel and Ellie storyline right after this.
Just the Last of Us.
Okay.
We're just gonna keep that one. That's the one we're gonna double up on. Okay.
That is a result of technical difficulties. I didn't have time to
okay, I'll give it to you.
All right, so let's go into Joel and Ellie storyline here throughout this episode. You know, we see them getting woken up by Henry and Sam, and we see this fun back and forth, at least from my end, where Ellie is telling Joel, hey, you know, tell them that you're okay. Tell them it's okay. And Joel's got the asshole voice, and Ellie calls him out for it. And then eventually they settle and they're having food with them. And but Joel wants to end it. Joel's like, okay, we've eaten. We didn't kill each other. It's a win-win. Let's go on our way. But Joel and Ellie get talked into being a part of this escape because they've got to get out. And Henry knew they had to get out because that's why they were that high. They were surveying the city and how the hell to get out of the city. So that we see them in the conference room. Joel is having this conversation with Henry. Joel doesn't want to help Henry. He's putting up walls. He's putting up these defenses. Constantly questioning Henry. What do you need me for? Why is this all about? And Ellie is the one, Ellie is the one that kind of softens the situation up a little bit. Henry tells him about the infected being underground. This is why they need them in the tunnels. And then we see when they get into the tunnels, how Joel is the one telling everybody, calm the fuck down. Stop celebrating. We still got a long way to go, and guiding them through this situation. And then we go to the outside and they're all still talking loud and celebrating. We get more of Joel and Ellie. And as I just said a couple of minutes ago here, Ellie calls out Joel because Ellie is the one who invites Henry and Sam to go along with them to Wyoming. Joel resists it, but Ellie calls him out. So this is what he does. He says, no, no, no. Then I ask him a million times and he gives in. And then boom, there's a shot and they're all kind of crowded under here. And we have this fantastic, to me, exchange with Joel and Ellie where Joel's saying, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And Ellie's like, no, I want to go with you. And he says to her, don't you trust me? And that is a huge, huge moment between them, I think. And of course, down in the daycare area, we see Joel seeing Ellie kind of open up like we saw in the conference room, Ellie and Sam connecting over the jokes. And then we see down in the playground seeing him play soccer with seeing her play soccer with Sam, you know, all this. So he's slowly caring for Ellie more and more as this show goes along and certainly through this episode. And then, as I said, we get to that moment out there and he runs around, saves them. And he's the one screaming and shooting from the window there to try to save Ellie. Ellie gets into this truck. We see this contortionist come through. Ellie jumps out. And there's another moment with Ellie and Joel where Joel realizes that Ellie is going to go save Henry and Sam. You see it come across his face like, this is who she is. All right, I've got to shoot everybody around her to make sure she can get it. And Ellie gets there. And by the way, Ellie knows exactly where to stab that knife in both of those two infected people. So clearly, she's had some training, as she mentioned about Fedra. They end up back in the room there. We see Ellie and Sam having their back and forth, as I mentioned. And Joel, when they burst through, Joel's the one that wants to save Ellie. His instinct is to save Ellie. Once again, Joel being kept from possibly saving a thing that he's caring about. We see this repeating throughout the series here so far. And eventually, everything calms down after, sadly, Henry kills himself. But Ellie's there. But when we cut to them later outside after Joel has buried their bodies, Ellie, they don't exchange any kind of pleasantries. There's no eulogy given. Ellie just lays that pad down, asks which way is west, And now she starts leading, and Joel is the one running up to catch up. So very interesting shift in their dynamic. Ellie is getting harder and harder as she experiences more and more of the world and is becoming a mini Joel, which I think Druckmann referenced two episodes ago in the Bill and Frank story. So, Mike, what are your thoughts here as we're seeing the more of the development of this relationship between Joel and Ellie and, of course, between Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey?
Well, I think what, again, what's great about the Henry and Sam storyline throughout is this is the first time that we've seen, like we've talked about, like, you know, like, so Kathleen and Michael are a representative of that. Bill and Frank are representative, but we kind of get those stories in the absence of Joel and Ellie. This is Joel and Ellie coming right up against two characters that really represent them. And so having them all interact with each other, you get to, and also having Ellie have someone, two people who are closer to her own age to interact with, you really get to see a lot of the differences and shades of their relationships come out. So like I was already saying with Joel, you know, Joel's journey with Henry is to be very distrustful because he distrusts everybody at first, find out he's a rat, be really like, I don't want to deal with you. Ellie kind of forces him into, we're going to help these people. And he reluctantly sort of gets that they probably could help each other. But then along this journey, really kind of like opening up a little bit. And then just to have Joel be badass, because that's who Joel is, in the entire scene, which is pulled from the game of him in the window, kind of shooting at everybody while everyone's running around. Like, you're like, that's one of those moments you're watching it and you're like, yeah, this show is based on a video game, but like in a good positive way. You're like, it's a great sequence. It's really, really fun. And to your point, that moment right before him where he does say to Ellie, like, do you trust me? There is this idea, again, kind of like the difference in Joel and Ellie than with Henry and Sam, in that Joel is training Ellie, to your point, to be a little Joel.
Yeah.
Someone who is self-sufficient. So he's going to protect her, but part of protecting her is teaching her how to survive, whereas Henry maybe is protecting Sam in a way that is very, very loving, but not as effective in the world that they're living in.
Right.
So I think that, yeah, this whole journey that Joel's on. And so, like, I think this is the other thing, and this is when you really examine how Walking Dead works versus how The Last of Us works. Walking Dead, the entire story is built around Rick as a character who will never let the world get to him. So Rick starts off as this great guy. Rick is a good dude. And whether it is your best friend and your wife are cheating on you, your son is infected, Negan kills your best friend. Like the whole nature of Rick is, if we're going to do a story where somebody never breaks, no matter how bad it gets, you have to keep making it worse as you get into season 6, 7, 8, 9. Like, you're the nature of the show is, we have to keep making things worse for Rick to show that he, as a representative of humanity, is going to survive no matter what. And the challenge with Walking Dead is, about 5 or 6 seasons in, most people were like, I get it, but I just can't see any, like, I get that Rick is going to make it. I don't know if I can make it. Whereas Last of Us skips those, like, that is what happened. Like, Joel lost Sarah, worst thing that ever happened, and he didn't come back from it. And he went and did awful things. He became a bad person. But we catch up with him at the point in the story where he's redeemed. But watching someone go start as a bad guy, not bad guy, but like as a guy who's not in a good place, and watching him find connection and find hope and pull himself out is a story that is inherently more hopeful than watching somebody repeatedly butt up against the worst, worst, worst and somehow make it. And so I think that what this whole journey that we talk about with Joel each week, like these little moments with Ellie, seeing him open up, seeing him, laugh at her joke last week, seeing him have these moments where he apologizes to Henry, seeing these moments where he does these things, like, He's just as much of a badass as Rick ever was. And they both are sort of protectors of the people in their lives. But because he started in such a bad place and we're watching him come out of it, it's just way more enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. Just because you're a bad guy does not mean you're a bad
guy. Bad guy.
Shannon, your thoughts here on the development and the furthering of the connection and relationship between Joel and Ellie with the events of this episode and how it went along in this particular episode.
Yeah, I mean Vogel and you as well, Johnny, hit a lot of it. But the performances of Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey, they're just so freaking good.
Yeah.
You know, the moment that Ellie wakes Joel up and he wakes up to that gun being in his face pointed by Sam, you see not the bad guy, but you see the survivor, Joel. You see, you know, his face goes blank. Like it is, he is ready. He's like a caged tiger. Like he is ready to leap. And you hear Ellie kind of like, nope, we're cool. He just said it. He's got an asshole voice. I mean, another great moment with Lamar Johnson when he's just like, I don't like that tone, man. I mean, that was just really, really funny. But also, Joel is a very single-minded dude. Like, even as they're eating, his goal at the end of that meal is to finish and leave because he does not trust anyone else. He has no faith in humanity. But to watch that, again, that slow degradation of this shell that he has, this scab that he has become over the last 20 years, I mean, it's just Pedro Pascal. I don't know if this show is going to garner any acting awards just because I feel like what is being shown is so minimal. And it's not because they don't deserve it. But Pedro Pascal's work, it is so subtle and it is so simple that I think a lot of times it can be overlooked. Yeah. But he's doing incredible work. And so is Bella Ramsey. I mean, watching the way that she bonds with Sam is just so heartwarming. And you see the journey that she's on, this kid who, you know, was raised, you know, with Fedra, being so kind of shut off from the world. And now the thing that she wanted was, you know, get out. I want to see stuff. You see reality setting in, especially at the end. The lack of hesitation when she sees that Sam has been bit, yeah, and she takes a knife out, cuts her hand, like, I'm going to save you, you know, puts the wound on his wound. And the next day, it doesn't even occur to her that he would have changed.
Yeah.
Because she approached him with zero caution, more just the fact that he was sitting on the edge of the bed looking out. And she was like, Hey buddy. And as Sam is going after her, and oh, good, this is another emotional moment. The way that she cries out for Joel, woo, goodness. Again, just really, really great work. And the resignation that she has at the end as she puts the pad that just says, I'm sorry. That you see, she is, as Vogel said, she is becoming a little Joel. And I think Joel's ultimate responsibility in this, aside from keeping her alive, is to make sure that doesn't happen. That this is a person that does not become so so scarred by the world that there's no hope left. Like it's they're both just doing excellent work. And that shot of them, if they didn't use that in the promos, they really should have. That sort of wide shot of them walking off in the distance and the sort of dystopic landscape. That was just a beautiful, beautiful shot. Jeremy Webb, who directed the last two episodes, really did a fantastic job.
And apparently Jeremy said I think it was in the last one, he got to choose which two episodes he wanted to direct. And he was like, these are the two that I really want to direct, and lobbied for them. So clearly knew what he wanted to do with both of these episodes. And I think all three of us can say accomplished it for sure. A thing real quick I want to throw in here with Joel is, I think, Shannon, you bring up an excellent point. You know, us as actors, and Michael, of course, you've done some acting as well, like, you're watching these little micro movements of the face, these little eye things that changes. And Michael, you brought this up, like when he changes immediately once Henry starts to tell him what he did to save Sam after he had given up. And when he calls him out on him being a dad, Joel shuts and you see the change in his face and you see these moments happening for Joel, and almost in the fear he has for Ellie. I think Joel 10 years ago has no problem with Henry shooting Sam and Henry killing himself. But because Ellie is opening him up and getting him access to these emotions that he's kind of shut away, maybe since his daughter passed, is allowing these moments of heightened emotion to exist, where you see the Joel that actually cares for people come out in these moments when the guards are down. And I think Pedro is doing a wonderful job, just like Bella, in that when Sam is first shot and killed, and Ellie's reacting to it, or Bella's reacting to it, and then her not even articulated fully no when Henry kills himself. That is the thing that we're seeing here in the progression of Ellie. She is experiencing the world and getting harder. And Joel has been trying to like shove down her desires to be playful and make these jokes. And I think, Shan, you make an excellent point. I think what we're going to see in the shift now is that Joel's got to find a way to bring that joy back out in Ellie and find the balance between the two, don't you think?
Well, and that is 100% correct. If you look at like where we are in the show, you see that moment, like Ellie like walks off and says, let's go. And now the fact that she's been the wisecracking kid for the first half of the season that Joel didn't want to have anything to do with, and that we got the great moment where he did giggle, and now it's sort of like, it's going to flip. Like, it's just great storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah. Feels that way too. All right. Let's wrap it up there. Anything I missed? Anything you guys want to highlight? Any final words about this episode? I'll swing back to you, Michael. And then Shannon right afterwards.
Yeah, I do. The one thing we didn't really talk a ton about, just because we've been so focused on the amazing characters, which again, this is a zombie show, and we've just spent over an hour talking about everything except the zombies, which is great. It's why the show is so good. But we did get a bloater, and he was bloated. But more than just the bloater, there's this great, and if you watch the after bit on HBO, you realize why. I went back and rewatched the thing. So when those infected pour out of that hole, it is a viscerally horrifying shot.
Yeah.
Like it is so upsetting. And here's the thing that made it great. They're all actual actors. That's not a CG shot. CG is amazing. CG can do so many things, but we have seen so many CG armies of zombies marching, crawling, running, speeding, whatever. But they went and hired a bunch of actors who had done like Planet of the Apes and other stuff, who were movement actors, and went through a whole like infected boot camp and had them all doing it. And that is why it was so effective. So what they do that's great about the show is it's a world, it's a zombie show. It's all about infected, but we haven't seen a ton of infected. We've seen them in the moments, like in the test episode, we saw them. You know, we got the clickers, we got like all of the infected people waking up and running, but Bill and Frank, not a lot. And in last week's episode, not a lot. But when they go for it, they really go for it. And they're doing it in all the right ways. They're not relying on CG. They're not relying on all of these other things. Like, they really are working hard to make this as effective as possible. And it's really, really working.
Yeah. Kind of like the shark in Jaws. Like, the less is more. And so you need to have air. And that's a great point, Michael. Yeah. Sorry to everybody who's watching for me leaving the bloaters until an hour into our review. But, you know, I love the character stuff, you know, but that, yeah, of course, that moment was so unsettling, Shannon, seeing them pouring out and just killing indiscriminately and seeing the brutality mirroring what we saw at the beginning of the episode, the savagery of the deaths here, the infected imposing on the hunters. And then, of course, the bloater coming out and ripping the head off of Perry, which was so unsettling to see, in essence, leveling up in a video game, so to speak, kind of adaptation here. What do you think about all of this and the bloaters and the design of the bloater as well?
I mean, again, having not played the game, the scene that they have their version of like a cave troll from Lord of the Rings, and like the thing that is fascinated about it.
Without the balls, yeah.
is the fungus does.
Yeah.
Like the fungus in that bloater is feeling these bullets, you know, rapid fire coming from Perry. And the action is not to bite him, to eat him. It is to disable him. And he does so by ripping his head off.
Yeah.
But then the contortionist that you were talking about, John, like, from a writing standpoint, it's really, really fascinating. It's like, what does the fungus want? Like it just wants to survive, and it doesn't, you know, you look at how it takes over a person's body and how that little girl who, again, thinking of The Walking Dead, the first time Rick really sees a zombie is the little blonde girl, at least in the show. But watching how she moves, like this is how, like that is the fungus sort of piloting this empty shell, and just watching how, you know, it's a roll here, it's a shoulder roll there. It's just filmmaking. It's fascinating because it's pretty unlike things that we've seen before. But also just from a writing standpoint, it's fascinating because you always talk about giving your characters motivation, and a character in this is the fungus. It is the thing that's powering all the infected.
Yeah. Mike, did you want to chime in with one more thing? Or are you good?
Well, just like what's great about that contortionist moment is, and I don't know, I would be curious to find out, like sometimes something is written in a script, like somebody maybe wrote in the script, an infected crawls into the car and moves in an inhuman way, unlike anything you've ever seen. But it's just as likely that they were doing infected boot camp and you had that kid and the director was like, holy shit, she can do what? Yeah, she's in the car. You know, like that's the great part about the creative medium of the entertainment industry is that great ideas come along at every point in the process. The writer brings something to it. The director brings something to it. The performers bring something to it. Like everyone up and down, the editors, the visual effects people, like it's an additive thing where everyone, when everything is working and when everyone has a really strong sense of this is the story that we're telling, which is definitely true here, everything feels like it's just working in sync.
Well, you can see the contortionist's audition. She auditioned like that, and on YouTube, they have the audition. So they clearly wanted to get an actress who could do that. And so watch that audition if you want. It's unsettling as hell how limber this young actress is and what she's able to do, because the creepiness of her rolling through that truck by level as she gets closer to Ellie is so unsettling and scary when you're watching that scene. And that's why you cast the way you cast, you know. So great, great stuff overall there. Also, if you guys want to watch the actual Henry and Sam scene with Joel and Ellie, that is the end scene of this episode. There is a gameplay on YouTube where they show the whole scene, like they have the whole 6 hours and whatever of the scenes there from the game. And that scene is there. It is just as harrowing as you see in this live action adaptation. So much there to explore for sure. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there. Thank you all so much for joining us for this spoiler review of episode 5, Endure and Survive of The Last of Us. We appreciate it madly. Shannon, what do we have to tell them?
Yeah, I'd like to follow us on social media. On Twitter, it's @geek_buddies. On Instagram, @the_geek_buddies. If you'd like to follow me on social media and hear just The Last of Us even more, you can follow me on Twitter @Shannon_McClung. On Instagram, @ShannonTheGeekBuddy. If you would like to follow Mr. Vogel, it is @MKToon. If you would like to follow Mr. Roca, it is @TheRocaSays.
Mikey?
Well, look, we clearly love talking about all this stuff, and we love that you're listening to it. And here's what you guys can do to help us keep doing what we do. You can hit that like button below, subscribe to Johnny's Outlaw Nation page, and check out all the amazing content he's got there. Leave your comments below. We want to know what you guys thought about Last of Us Episode 5. If you were listening to us on a podcast, go ahead and leave us some comments and leave us some stars. It helps us go up in the rankings. And as always, the best thing that you guys can do is retweet this video, post it on your socials, send it to your friends, and tell them to hang out with your buddies, the Geek Buddies.
And of course, big shout out to Carbon Health, who continues to power and sponsor us here on the Geek Buddies. Please head on over there for any healthcare questions, concerns or needs. To go to carbonhealth.com, download the app to have an app in your pocket there, or a dock in your pocket, as they like to say, the kids. 100 plus locations all over the states, 80 plus locations in California alone, working hard to bring you some new mental health stuff as well. Mental health programs, they really believe in creating healthcare plans that suit you both inside, internally, and mentally as well. So all of that, as well as physically, taking care of you there at carbonhealth.com. Go and check them out today. All right, y'all take care of yourselves. Be well, and we'll talk to you next time with another brand new spoiler review episode here from the
Geek
Buddies!
Hey!